pastor's been preaching. I sure hope you'll come back. Amen. And I think almost feel like he should preach today. He's had such an impact on lives. But God has me here, so I'm going to preach what God has. But I'm glad for changed lives. Amen. And how that God does a miracle, and how he loves us and he cares for us, and he has a future for us. Amen. He wants to use each of us to touch other people's lives. We're going to speak about that tonight, in the message tonight. And God doesn't condone sin. You know, he's not for it. Okay, we know that. But God takes the sin that we do and the life that we've lived, and he uses it for his glory. And sometimes we wonder why things happen in life, but everything happens for a purpose. You know, sometimes people say, well, I wish Adam and Eve would have never ate from that tree. I got you. But if they hadn't, we wouldn't really know the love of God. We really wouldn't. Because we'd have just been perfect people. And you've never read a story that just, you know, Reader's Digest, Chicken Soup for the Soul, all those great things. They never wrote a story about somebody that did something, you know, because the person was just so good, right? I mean, you got that? It's because there was a tragedy and somebody did something, right? And those are the things that touch lives. And, you know, we just got to remind ourselves of that all the time. As Pastor already said, we're all just sinners. And we're actually going to see that in just a moment in the Scriptures, in a different way, perhaps, than we might think of it. But we just need the Lord, amen? And I'm so glad for that. I love this church. I'm thankful you're here. And I'm reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Looking forward to coming back in June for Vacation Bible School. It'll be a wonderful time. But have a good week, amen, this week, and just being around here. Matthew chapter number 18 this morning. The book of Matthew and chapter number 18. As Pastor said, we're usually in South Africa right now. And somebody says, would you like to be there? Yeah, when it was 20 below a couple weeks ago and I was in Oakley, Kansas and trying to keep my RV warm. Whew! I was trying to figure out any way to get over to South Africa, you know, but you know, God doesn't want us to be there right now, so I'm okay with that. It's wonderful to be where God wants you to be, but the works over there are doing well. But I was able to go to Zimbabwe in November. That was a blessing. And in April the 10th, 11th, I'll be able to take Andrew and Lydia, and we're going to go back over to Zimbabwe just for a couple of weeks. Another missionary from Bulgaria is bringing his son, who has interest in Africa missions. And we're going to spend some time over there visiting some of the churches and doing the work and working on our paperwork so that, Lord willing, we can go back in September and stay for about 7 months. It's kind of our plan, if God will let us to have that happen. But it's exciting that the world, people are still getting saved, amen? Churches are still growing. God's still working. And he just is, we just need to keep pressing on. And I'm serving him and never, ever fail in that. Matthew chapter 18, we found your place this morning. We're going to read the first 6 verses. And it says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one of such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now that's pretty serious right there, isn't it? A millstone? And we don't have a lot of those today, but, you know, take a semi-truck and chain it around your neck and jump in the sea with it and see what it does to you. You're going to the bottom with no hope of coming back up. And Jesus said it's better if you offend one of these little ones that that's what happened to you. To me, that's pretty serious. And we're talking this week about teaching, but if you were here in Sunday school, teaching is not just about teaching little children. We're to be teaching all the time, everything. Now, specifically, churches do need teachers to teach little children, amen? And Pastor said a little while ago, it's like parenting, amen? And we need this in our life. And I love kids being in church, but I also love kids when they go to junior church, amen? And it just, you know, it is. It gives us a moment to relax a little bit. You know, I love to eat meals with my kids, but I don't mind when they were little if a babysitter came along, amen? And, you know, it's just, that's how it is, all right? And, I want us to see, if we can this morning, this passage a little broader than it often is presented of children, little children, and touching their lives. Because Jesus makes this statement that we read in verse number 3, except you be converted, and then he said, and become as little children. You shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I want to speak this morning on what that really means to become as a little child. Let's pray. Father in heaven, please, God, you are the mighty God. And Lord, we can praise you this morning. We already have. Thank you for the songs that have been sang, Lord, the songs of your blood and who you are and how great thou art. And God, what a wonderful Lord. Thank you for this church that has assembled these people, visitors, Lord, some that are here all the time. God, you know the needs of every heart. Lord, might be someone sitting here that has never been converted. God, today would be the day of their salvation. What a joy that would be. Maybe some have been saved and converted and believed on you, but God, they're like a rebellious child, a disobedient child. They're not following you. And God, today they would come back to you and restore that fellowship. And God, others that are striving to walk as your child. And Lord, Pastor mentioned it. Lord, help us not to be self-righteous. Help us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Help us, Lord, to suffer the little children to come unto you. Lord, teach us today. Help me to say what you once spoke, and nothing more, nothing less. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want us to see, if we can, a couple of things here. There's no doubt that Jesus loved the little children. If you just turn over in the next chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 19, we read another event in his life. And look, if you would, at verse number 13, Matthew 19. It says, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. Those disciples, they were always, you know, doing things they shouldn't. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. There is no doubt that Jesus loved the children. Okay, there's no doubt that when the mothers brought the infants and the brand new babies or another child, that Jesus was always willing to try to take the time to lay his hands on them to pray for those children. But it is important for us to understand that that's not what got those children into heaven. All right? It's good to pray for children. If a church has a baby dedication, they bring a child in, and the church prays for that child and says, God bless this child's life. Lord, help this child to grow up to know you. Those are wonderful things. But that never gets a child into heaven. Because Jesus said, you must be born again. Now, I don't worry about little babies that pass away from this life. I think the Bible's pretty clear that David, when God was punishing him and the child of his adulterous affair was taken, that David wiped his tears and said, I will see this child again. So I'm thankful that little children that don't know right from wrong and grow up and pass away, praise the Lord. Okay? And somebody said, well, how does that work out? I don't know. I don't have to know. All right? Bible says it, that's good enough for me. Amen. I don't know how God said, let there be light, and there was light. I just know he said it, and that's how it was. Amen. So a lot of things you just take by faith, not a problem. Amen. But there's some time in a life where a person begins to understand the right from the wrong. Okay? And that understanding brings them to a place where they have to make a decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, and be born again, or to reject him. Sadly, most people reject him. And they live up their life, and somebody says, well, I didn't reject him, I go to church. You rejected him because he didn't say going to church was the way to eternal life. You see what I'm saying? You're doing it your way. Pastor already mentioned about the baptism. So many people will say, well, I was sprinkled as a child, or I was, you know, poured on as a child, or I joined the church. Well, you've rejected Jesus Christ, though. So that's kind of harsh, preacher. Get this, okay? It's the wrong way. And no matter which way you choose, if it's not the right way, it's still the wrong way. And Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by him. He said it is a narrow way that leads to eternal life. It's a broad way that leads to destruction. Few find the narrow way. Many are on the broad way. And so we have to understand this morning, that Jesus loved the children and he wanted to lay hands on them. He wanted to pray for them. He was glad the mothers brought them to him, but never in the scriptures do we find that is the place of their salvation. There has to come a day in your life when you repent, when you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not so much what you're turning from, but it's what you're turning to. And when you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've turned away from everything else. You see, some people turn away from addictions to good things. Well, I'm glad they did that, I guess, because that's a better way to live. But that doesn't get them to heaven. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, when I used to preach down in New Orleans at Mardi Gras every time before I started going overseas, we'd have 30 or 40 guys down on the streets handing out gospel tracts and just talking to people like this. We weren't screaming at them or anything like that. There are people that do that. We just didn't do that. And you know, the amazing thing is that at the end of that time of sinfulness, I mean, it's pretty bad. The churches are packed with people giving money. The churches make the mint on that thing. I'm just telling you. I was down there after Katrina, knocked on a guy's house. He was very up in the banking world, was relocated because of the storm. He's living in a little shack place. And knocked on his door. You talk to him, very up in the banking world, the Citibank. And I'm talking to him like I'm talking this morning about being born again. And this guy's listening. He says, you're right, preacher. He said, a lot of sin. And he reached back in his pocket and he pulled out his wallet. And he reached in and had a stack of $100 bills. He wanted to pay for his sin. I took that stuff and ran, man. No, I didn't. I said, sir, that's not the answer. He's going to do something good. He wanted me to take the money and go help people out. And I said, that's not the answer. It's Jesus Christ. Sadly, he put his money back away. And he said, I just don't believe that. Willing to give thousands of dollars to feed people, which is a good thing, but not willing to trust in Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved, and that through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, there's not going to be any boasting in heaven about how we got there. It's all going to be the same way through Jesus Christ. Unworthy, undeserving, but I cried out for mercy, and he saved me. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, I pray that today you would. Back to our text here in Matthew chapter number 18. It's interesting to understand the disciples asked a question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So they had been talking about this. Now, hold your hand in Matthew because we're going to flip right back to it. But let's read the parallel passage in Mark chapter number 9 because it sheds a little bit more light on it. It's the same event. Just Mark tells us a little bit more about it. Mark chapter number 9, and we're going to read about 15 verses, so follow along with me if you would. Mark chapter number 9, and we're going to pick up the reading in verse number 33. It's the same exact time framing as what took place in Matthew 18. It's just recorded in Mark chapter number 9 in a bigger picture. And it says in verse number 33, and he, Jesus, came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? See, Jesus knows all things, verse 34. But they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. So back in Matthew, when we read that they said, who's the greatest? The reason they asked is that they've been having an argument. And the argument was, Peter's talking, I think I'm going to be the greatest up there with Jesus. He loves me. Bartholomew, Peter, you're always speaking out of turn, and you get rebuked more than anybody else. I know, but the Lord rebukes those he loves. I mean, I'm not saying what they were saying. I'm just saying they were having an argument about who was the greatest. Who is the best? I mean, look, it's me. And don't we see the same thing today? Hello. People, we're the best. We're the ones. I tell people all the time, I'm a Baptist, but I'll tell you something. Being a Baptist doesn't get you to heaven. Amen? I know why I'm a Baptist. I know why I believe what I believe. But I'm going to tell you something. That didn't get me to heaven. What gets me to heaven is the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. Boy, there's a lot of dispute about who's going to be the greatest. You know, somebody says, well, I did all this for God, and I did all this. People publish, you know, their great praises of publishing reports, and it's not what Jesus said. So that's what's taking place. Keep reading back in Mark chapter number 9. And we'll pick up here in verse number 34. But they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Verse 35. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which should do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Now, the next few verses he doesn't talk about so much in Matthew, but let's read them because it's the same conversation. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. You can turn back to Matthew. I think it's important to get the big picture that Jesus talks about there in Mark, because he goes from the conversation of who is the greatest in heaven to sitting down a little child to saying that you need to be converted and become as a little child to now saying, let me tell you what this is really about. If you don't become converted, there is hell. It's in the same conversation, is it not? And 3 times he talks about it's better to lose your arm, better to lose your foot, better to lose your eye and live this life crippled and maimed with those things because you cut it off than to keep it and go to that fire that is never, ever quenched. So I believe when Jesus was talking about little children, he wasn't trying to get across just a concept of Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, although he does. But rather he was trying to make a spiritual understanding about eternity. So first of all, this morning, if you want to be in heaven, you have to be converted. That was the emphasis back in Matthew chapter number 18. Except ye be converted, all right? You can't take those words out. And become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that's why the first emphasis this morning is for each and every one of us. Have you been born again? That's the word Jesus used in John 3. And when you were born, you were a little what? Child. Amen? I mean, when Jesus said that to Nicodemus, Nicodemus said, how can a man go back into his mother's womb a second time and be born? You know, you might have a large baby at 10 or 12 pounds, but friend, no 150-pounders ever came. Amen? You got that? No full-grown people came, all right? Everyone came out as a baby, a little child. And you know what? When you're born again, you become a spiritual little child, amen? A child of God. I'm so glad for me, March the 5th of 1988, 11 o'clock at night, just 2 days ago and 30-some years ago, I was born again. I became a child of God. And ever since that day, I have been on my way to heaven. Amen. Nobody can take it away from me because the gift of God is eternal life. And you don't have to be born again, 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 again. Amen. One time, forever. So first of all, this morning, have you been converted? You got to know that, right? If I walked around this morning and said, are you alive? 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 You'd look at me and say, yeah, preacher. I'd say, prove that you're alive. You'd say, I'm here. Feel my skin. Pinch it. You'll know I'm alive. There's never a question that you are physically alive. Now, I know some of you say, well, preacher, I don't feel alive. I got you. I don't understand that. I feel good all the time, right? No, but I can realize that there are days when you say, man, this body doesn't feel like it's living, but I want to help you out with something. It still is until the day it's dead. Isn't that right? You're either dead or you're alive. There's no such thing as halfway alive. We use that statement, but it doesn't work. You're either alive or you're dead. Amen? So how come when we come to the spiritual realm, people say, well, preacher, I'm just not sure that I'm saved. Because saved is converted, saved is live, saved is born again. You either know or you don't know. And they say, well, preacher, I don't feel like I'm saved. And you know what? I'm so glad you're not saved based on your feelings. You're not lost and going to hell because you feel like it. You're lost and going to hell because it's a truth the Bible says. Amen. That's what the Bible says. We are all sinners. Do you know some sinners don't feel like sinners? They feel like good people. And they say, I'm a good person. I feel like it. Well, I'm sorry. You're against the facts. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. You say, yeah, but preacher, I did some good things. Let me ask you why you did it. Oh, by the way, what about your bad things? Don't I come to your house and don't you serve me a rotten peach next to a unrotten peach? And kind of slide them together and say, here it is, preacher, giving you some good peaches. No, that's bad, you know? That rotten peach is going to ruin that good peach. And our sinfulness has ruined any goodness we ever do. Amen. So, well, I'm going to put a lot more, you know, when I teach this little kids in Bible school, and I say, you know, you put two good peaches there. Now you can have a good peach out of that rotten one. They all go, no. By the time I get to 100 good peaches on there, those kids think I've lost my mind. Because they know that one rotten peach left there is going to ruin all that good fruit. But then I talk to older people, and they still think that somehow their few acts of goodness replace and okay all their acts of badness. It can't. It ruins it. That's why we're saved by grace. So number one, you must be converted. If you're not converted, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be converted. Did you know you could do it right now? You don't have to wait till the end of the service and talk to Pastor Matt, although if you're confused, go talk to him, amen? But you can sit right there and just say, you know what, I believe on Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, I was up in Oregon talking to an older couple. The man had never, he told me, he said, nothing in the Bible. I'd talk about a story, he said, never heard that before. Just totally oblivious to the Bible his whole life. His wife, very religious, but they'd never been really talking about it. Sat there in their house, and in the middle of that conversation, the lady said to me, she said, so many people, they have it here, but they don't have it here. She said, don't you think everybody has that? And she said, I believe now. That woman got saved right there. I looked over her husband, and he looked and he said, me too, I understand, I believe. That's how simple salvation is. It really is. You need to believe on him. Number two, though, back in Matthew chapter 18, that first verse, verse number 3, except ye be converted and become as little children, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But then in verse 4 he says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now that's what Jesus was answering. He said, if you humble yourself, and remember he's talking about the little child, right? The little child, before the little child is represented, there has to be what? Conversion, right? He's saying the same thing. You humble yourself. A recognition. There's nothing I can do. And you've trusted in Christ. You are now like this little child. He's answering this question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Get this. We're all the same in heaven. We're all the same. There is no... He's not teaching here that if you're a real humble Christian, when we get to heaven, you're going to sit up higher than everybody else. Not so. Now, there is a time when God is going to reward, amen? Oh, there's a time, 1,000 years, pretty long time. There's a time when Jesus is going to reward, and there are rewards, and there is rulership, and there is things the Bible talks about. Not going there today. But I'm saying in heaven, before we enter heaven, the Bible says God is going to wipe away all tears. And there'll be no more remembrance. Because in heaven, we're all going to be the same. Now, some people say, well, good, then I can just live however I want now. Oh, boy. First of all, if you're God's child, he's going to chasten you. Okay? And if he doesn't chasten you, you're not his child. You're not converted. But if you're his child, he chastens you. All right? And he wants you to live right because he wants your life to influence others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's serious about that. He's serious about people getting saved. Let's read a couple of verses very quickly. Revelation chapter 21. And then we'll go to the book of 1 John. Revelation chapter number 21. We'll read the first four verses. And I, John, and I'm sorry, verse 1 of Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall be any more pain. Notice this, for the former things are what? Passed away. Go back just a little bit in front of the book of Revelation. You'll find Jude. Then you see 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Look at 1st John chapter number 3. 1st John chapter number 3. First John chapter 3, verse number 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the what? Sons of God. That's conversion. Amen? You become a child of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. All right? Now look what it says. Keep reading. Therefore the world knoweth not because it knew him not. Now look at verse number 2. Get this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Amen? Isn't that good? Read that with me if you're saved. Now are we the sons of God. Amen. That's a promise in the Scriptures. Keep reading. and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him. For we shall see him as he is. That's a pretty powerful scripture verse, is it not? That we shall be like him. Remember, he calls us sons of God. He calls us brothers. The next verse talks about this life. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but I'm not there yet. I'm still here. But I'll tell you something, when I get to heaven someday, I'm going to be completely, fully like Jesus Christ for all of eternity. That's what the Bible says. And if you're saved, guess what you're going to be? The same. And have you read the Bibles, how God exalted the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm just saying, in heaven, after we get through all of these last day events that take place, in heaven, we're all going to be the same. Because we have been what? Converted. Believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? You're not going to be in heaven. Do you understand that? Now, here's the last thought. Look at what it says. Kind of tying verse 5 into verse number 6. Verse 5 says, back in Matthew chapter 18, I'm sorry, I didn't let you turn back there. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Now, let's stop thinking about physical babies. Are you following me right now? I'm not against talking about receiving babies and laying hands on them and sprinkling, praying. I don't think we should sprinkle them, but praying for them. That's all wonderful, all right? But that's not what Jesus is teaching here. He's not teaching, go out and get all the little kids in town and bring them into your church, although I believe you should do that. Amen? He's talking about spiritual things here. He's talking about someone that has been converted, and when you get saved, you become a little child, a son of God, right? You're now going to heaven, and you're going to be there in heaven equally with all of eternity forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, all right? But now he says that if you receive such a one as that, receive the Jesus. In other words, Ian just got saved a week ago. He's just a what? A little child. Do you know what? If I am a believer in Jesus Christ, do you know what I'm supposed to do? Receive him. Amen? And if I'm not willing to receive him, then I'm like rejecting Jesus. That's what Pastor Matt was talking about, that self-righteousness we can get. Remember that self-righteous people in the Bible, the Pharisees? And when Jesus went down to Zacchaeus' house and sat there, remember Zacchaeus up in the tree said, come in, you know, my house, and Jesus said, okay, and they sat there, and they said, oh, he's eating with that guy. Zacchaeus came out like a little child. Amen? I'm going to say something today. That's what we need to be like. Amen? We need to receive those little children. Those people that just got saved. Amen? And he says the same thing in verse number 6. Now we got to get to this. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me. Do you see it? Is he talking about a 2-year-old child in the nursery? Let's be real, he's not, is he? Now, get this. Go touch one of those little babies in the nursery. We'll meet you out back with some things. Amen? Okay? I'm not saying it's okay to hurt a child. All right? You do that, there's some things that should take place in your life. Definitely. Amen? But let's preach the Bible and teach and understand the Bible the way God put it. He said, one of these little ones which believe on me, that's the evidence they are now what? A child. A new Christian. And he said, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. I want to tell you something this morning, church. Person that's been saved a while, Be careful. Be careful how you deal with new babes in Christ. Love them. Care for them. Nurture them. Strengthen them. Yes, there are times when they need instruction. There are times when God disciplines. But never offend. Never offend. I've been traveling around the world for a long time. I want to tell you something. I meet a lot of people out there in our communities that I believe heard the gospel, got saved, but some self-righteous person offended them. Now, I always tell them, you're still wrong to be offended. You got to get over your offense and get back in the church and get back in the preaching. But woe to me if I ever offend one of those little people. This morning, there's only three types of people in this room today. There are people that need to get converted, amen? If that's you, in just a moment we're going to pray. If you haven't gotten converted, you got questions, you still understand it, talk to somebody. Get the answers. But if you already know the answers, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, amen? Tell us about it. We'll rejoice with you, amen? I don't even know if I'm supposed to say this out loud, but my oldest daughter just told us yesterday she's getting ready to have another child, amen? Whew, three. And in Kenya. And you know what? When I got that message, I didn't say, oh, that's a terrible thing. She's telling people. Now the whole world knows, amen? When somebody gets converted, you talk about it, amen? So there's people here that are not converted that need to get converted. If that's you, do that, amen? Second of all, there are people that have been converted, but they're still little babes. Could I just say to you, have fun and grow, amen? Just take the milk of the Word of God and drink it up. And if you make a mess, praise God, there's people around that change you and help you out and strengthen you. And just love God, amen? And those of you that say, well, preacher, I've grown. I've been saved a long time. Don't offend those little babes. If I brought one of my little grandchildren in here today, what would everybody do? Yeah, even though they look like me, you'd still say, oh, it's beautiful, all right? And you'd pinch their cheek and you'd love all over them. In fact, I'd be holding them and you'd be lining up saying, when do I get my turn? Right? Isn't that how it has to do with the spiritual babe? Everybody's just like, wow. Now don't go pinching Ian's cheeks, all right? Oh, he said that, yeah. But do you understand the truth, amen? Church people? I love those passages. Let's pray today. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I think this church is what we're preaching about. Lord, I believe they love people and they want to see lives changed. And Lord, this message is a reminder. But God, we have to be careful because sometimes as we get older, even physically, we think children can be a nuisance because they're children. And God, we don't want to have that attitude at all spiritually. But we want to remember what it was like to just get saved and to be rejoicing as a sinner saved by grace. God, help us never to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Help us to remember that, Father, this is the life and now we need to live for you. And God, I pray above everything else today, if there's somebody here that's not saved, that God, today would be the day and they would be converted. They would be saved. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're just going to have a short time of invitation. I'm going to ask Pastor Matt to come. And God has spoken to your heart about salvation today. I would challenge you to speak to him and talk to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have a song. We're going to pray, have the baptism. But if you're here today and you need some help spiritually, please talk to us about that after this service today. If you're here today and God has spoken to you as a Christian about some things, then would you just talk to God about it and make it right? And that would be a great thing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray you'd help us today. Lord, I pray you would strengthen us. Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, may you move our hearts as only you can, Lord, that we might respond according to your scriptures. And Lord, we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to have a song here today, and who's leading the song? Brother Matt, are you? Brother Bob? Okay, Brother Bob's going to lead the song. Brother Bob, you come with that song here today. Amen.